Today's shiur's on Rosh Hashanah. What is Rosh Hashanah? First of all, the word Rosh Hashanah literally means the head of the year. Head implies that there's a body, and the rest of the year is a body associated with that head. Just as the head in a human being is the most important part, and from which is like the control center of the whole body, so Rosh Hashanah, a person's judged, and it's the control center of that whole year. But he's judged more than that. Now we'll explain exactly what that is. Rosh Hashanah is not the first day of creation. Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day of creation. Adam HaRishon was created, first man was created on Rosh Hashanah. He sinned by eating from the Eitz Hadas, and he was judged on that day. So too are we judged on our sins on that day, just as Adam HaRishon is judged. On a deeper level, it's brought down in Sfarim, the Arizal before him, that the whole process from Rosh Hashanah to Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah, we're coming to fix the chet of Adam HaRishon, as much as we're individuals, as the Jewish people, Amesugal, are able to do. Be having said that,
what's the time span?
All of our souls are the souls of Adam HaRishon. That means what he sinned is intrinsic within us. That means every year we're judged on the same judgment of the sin that he made. And how are we improving that matzav? How are we improving that level that we lost, that Adam HaRishon lost? Are we improving? Is there a gain? Is the world coming to its shleimus? Is the world coming to its completion? What is the completion of the world? What does that mean? And this is where this concept of Malchius, Zichronus, and Shofros comes. On Rosh Hashanah, we're Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make him Melech, a king over us. That's the Avodah. The Avodah of Shofar is like a trumpet that you blow, showing the Malchus of the king. I'm going to explain all this because there's a lot of ways to understand this. That's why Rosh Hashanah, you don't mention any sins. You don't do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. You're just accepting his malchus. I'm going to explain how this works. If a king comes to the city and the people there who evade taxes, people there cheating business, people there who do things, stole land from the king, extended their houses, took properties from the king, right? Small things, not big things. Then acres of land, not 1 meter of land. They steal billions of dollars from the king, few thousand dollars, but they still stole. They still didn't listen to the king. But now the king comes in. If the people show proudly that they love the king, they want to be part of his malchus, part of his kingship, how does the king feel about the things that people did? Does he look at them with a magnifying glance? Or he says, look, they're good people. They want me as a king. So he's merachem on them. They're blowing their trumpets, proclaiming his kingship. They're merachem on him. He sees that really they want to accept his kingship. King doesn't need another few meters of land here and there. The king has enough treasures. He doesn't need, that few thousand dollars that each individual tax evaded or whatever. He's not interested in that. So he overlooks it. It's not considered in his mind. Because what is considered in his mind, that his people want to accept his kingship. And he remembers them for all the good deeds they did to the king. And he sees them with a shofar proclaiming his malchus. That's the concept of malchus, zichronos, and shofros. I.e. malchus is that they want his kingship. Zichronos is he sees intrinsically their goodness. He remembers their good deeds. The good deeds of the Jewish people are their individual good deeds. Because they, by saying the Zichronos, are associating themselves with those good deeds of their forefathers and saying, we are like them. This is who we want to be. This is who we are as a people. And then they show for us that they're proclaiming his Malchus. They're proclaiming it in the world and saying, we are your servants. And they're waving their flags and they're blowing their shofar and they're proclaiming his malchus. You understand? That's the concept of the tefillah. That's why we don't have any vidui.
We don't have what?
We don't have any tshuva, any confession. According to the Rashash, according to the Sfarim, the Rashash, who's a big Kabbalist, there is a place for vidui, and that place is shofar. In between the Tekiah, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiah, the Tashrat, to the Tashat, to the Tarat. Tashat is Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah, the Tarat, Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah. There's Vidui, written in the Siddurs of the Sfadim. They do it bepeh, they don't have to, it's not considered a hefsek. They can say it out loud. Ashkenazim don't do Vidui. Chasidim, some do, some don't. Different minhagim, Sfarim do. The reason for that is the proclaiming of his malchus. We're saying to him, "We're forgive us for our going against your will. We want to do your will. We just have a body. We just have desires." That's a form of proclamation of malchus. That when we're proclaiming his malchus, we're negating our will and regretting on our will, which is different from his will. You understand? That makes sense to you? But the judgment, since I said the sin of Rosh Hashanah is the basis of the sin of Adam HaRishon, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is not so simple. It's not just you're judged on what your parnasa is going to be the next year, or what your health is going to be the next year. Mi chie mi yamut, who's going to live, who's going to die? Who's going to live with Yisurim, with bad things, who's going to live with good things? Not just those things. You're judged on your place in Olam Haba. How much the last year brought you to Olam Haba? You're judged on your spiritual position for eternity. Says the Rashash, because I told you, your shofar, there's an inyan of tshuva. What's the inyan of tshuva? Says the Rashash in his drashas of Rosh Hashanah, he says, as an etzer, if a person wants to get through the year, what does he do? Says the Rashash, he takes on one new thing completely that he didn't do last year. And he says, V'yodea, yodea ta'alumot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and he can be me'id on himself, this one thing he's definitely going to do, he is called a Baal Tshuva, a person who did tshuva, and he will live for the next year. Garashash guarantees. That means it's an important thing for a person, and maybe this is where the goyim got it, to have these resolutions. I wouldn't call it resolutions. spiritual resolutions that a person takes on himself on Rosh Hashanah, on the new year, something new that he's going to do for that whole year. You with me? So the question being asked is, how do we do mitzvahs for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? We have a goof, we consider ourselves, we're thinking about ourselves as we're doing mitzvahs. We want to do it for ourselves, we want to eat healthy for ourselves, or we want to do mitzvahs for ourselves as well, right? We're not parnasa, we're not a lot of things. We're not only thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's a problem. It's a big problem. If we didn't have Chazal to give an answer, we'd have a big problem. If who says you do a mitzvah, right, for the wrong intent, it's considered a mitzvah. Maybe it's not considered a mitzvah. We need a Gemara to tell us that. So there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person does a mitzvah shelo lishma for not the proper reasons, it's considered a mitzvah, right? But it's not a high-level mitzvah. And there's a machlokus in the Gemara. Some Gemara say if you do shelo lishma, right? It's not good. Not so good. It's better you didn't do it. So the Gemara gives a bit, if he does it for his own covert, right? That's better than he does it to, like, to argue. But says the Mesirish Yesharim. No, Mr. Meliyahu says like this. If a person can't get to do a mitzvah for pure motives, which is a problem, and he should be doing mitzvahs for pure motives, for Kodesh Baruch Hu, even the mitzvahs if he does for not the proper motive, but his intention one day is to do it for the proper motive, that's a mitzvah shelo lishma, that's good, that's worth doing. Because his motive is, even though I know why I'm holding today, you know, I like Shabbos, but I also like a day of rest. And I like the kugel, and I like the kubba, and I like the whatever else we have, right? And it's a nice family time. And if he wasn't from, he would want to have a day of rest where he's with his family. But he's doing it for Kodesh Baruch Hu. And one day he wants to do it kulo for Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what is in his head. So long as a person is aware of where he is holding practically, but his intention is to do it completely for his Creator, right? That's called a mitzvah. Even shelo lishma, it's balishma. It comes to doing it for the proper reason. And he will come to do it for the proper reason. So long as our minds and our mindset is that, yes, I have a physical goof, yes, I have desires and all these other things that prevent me from doing a mitzvah lishma, so long as my long-term intent is to do it properly lishma, right, that's considered a good mitzvah. Because mitoch shelo lishma, from lo lishma, Baal Lishma, who come to doing it Lishma, the same of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You with me?
Yeah.
So what about, why in Rosh Hashanah we don't ask for specific needs in Rosh Hashanah? The king comes to the village and he sees people proclaiming and blowing their shofars, and he recognizes the good things they did, and he sees the malchus, his malchus being expressed in the world, being proclaimed in the world through the shofar. Then a guy comes up and says, hey, can you give me $10, king? What does the king think of that? What does the king think of that? Everyone's blowing the shofars, proclaiming his malchus, proclaiming his kingship, happy to see him, and this guy asks for $10? How does it seem? It's not mechubad. It's an improper gesture. Here, it's a sea of proclamation of his malchus, and you don't care about that. You're interested in your own $10. Says the Rashash. Rashash says that on Rosh Hashanah, a person asking for things on his tefillahs is like a dog going, have, give, give. That's a very, very bad comparison to be considered on Rosh Hashanah like a dog to say, give, give. What are you talking about? So now, what things can we ask for? The king comes in and says, and you ask him, can I be a minister of yours? Can I come visit you? Can I be close to the king? Can I learn your rule book? Can I learn how things work by the king so I can be part of the ministry? How then does the king feel? Do you want more his malchus? You want the bettering of his malchus? So what things can we ask for on Rosh Hashanah? Torah, Yirat Shemayim. We can ask for Parnasa so that we can do his Avodas Hashem. We can ask for things like that to do his Avodas Hashem. But it's only because we want to accept his malchus. But if we're asking for ourselves, have, give me like a dog, that's a very low level. You understand? Ask for ruchnis. A shidduch isn't a bad thing. You can ask for a shidduch next year. Right? You can ask for things, that's ruchani. A good girl, that's ruchani. You can ask for parnasa. You don't have to be misasik in it. You don't have to work in it and waste your time from learning. That you can ask for. But you ask just to crack a deal, so tomorrow you're going to go crack another one. Forget it. Spend the time learning. You can say crack a deal by X amount of time, then I won't be cracking any more deals and I'm spending my whole time learning. That's something different. That shows you appreciating. You want to get in. Give me $10 that I can buy a train ticket to come and visit the king in the palace. It's differently from give me $10. So I can get another $10 the next time you come. Or $20 the next time you come, right? If you're Parsi. Right. That's a joke. That was a bad one. And I explained this many, many times. When the king comes to us, we have to be ready. If the king comes to your house and you put out banners and blow trumpets and put out the red carpet and, you know, everything, make special food for him and, you know, show him that you're accepting his malchus, he'll forget about the other stuff, the small stuff, because he knows you want to accept his malchus. But if you do nothing when the king has come, no banners, no trumpets, nothing. You're still wearing those dirty clothes and the king walks in seeing you with his dirty clothes. What's he going to see? He's going to see you're not willing to accept his malchus. You're not interested in his malchus. That's going to bring on a tremendous judgment. That's why Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. The way we get out of the judgment is through malchus, zichronus, the shofars. Where you get out of it is by accepting his malchus, mentioning him, the good deeds that our forefathers who were the ministers, the king, and saying, we want to go in the ways of our forefathers, let us in as well. And then the final proclamation, an extension of his malchus, that we're proclaiming his malchus to the world. That's what shofaris is. But according to Sadam, shofaris has to be done with a vidu, with a tshuva. Because I not only do I proclaim it, I also show through my actions that I'm nullifying my will to his will. And that's what shofaris really represents. And the reason you don't need to ask is because if by making yourself part of his higher malchus and his kingship, accepting that kingship, he wants to bring you close to that kingship. He wants to bring you in. He wants to give you what you need. Why does Rosh Hashanah have 2 days? If it's a day of judgment, a day that we're, just as man was judged on this day, so the whole Jewish people, called by Olam, a judge, Kabnei Maron, that has to explain why Kabnei Maron. There's three pshat in the Gemara, why Kabnei Maron, right?
What's
Bnei Maron? It's three pshat in the Gemara. One pshat is, it's like sheep going on this high mountain, singularly, that each person is individually judged. And the Magen Avraham says, if a person feels an itorarut, an awakening on the day of Rosh Hashanah, and he comes to Bechi, and he comes to cry, that's a sign that that moment he's being judged. Now, why the 2 days? It's B'Shem Di'ari. Judgment means as follows. There's din v'chesh. Din is what averas you did. How comes you did these averas? Cheshbon is, instead of doing these averas, given your strengths, what could you have done with that time? What type of person could you have become that you didn't become because you didn't use your time properly? You spend them doing other things that you shouldn't have been doing. Kodesh Baruch Hu judges us very, very fairly, and he gives us opportunity to overcome where we're holding now and to improve ourselves. That's why the Rosh Hashanah says, so long as a person's on the side of improving, he'll be allowed, he'll be given more time to improve. So long as we're on the up and incline. Now, the reason for these 2 days, so it's a Zohar. The Zohar says, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Din HaKashya. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is Din HaRafya. Din HaKashya means a difficult din. Second day is Din HaRafya, means a weaker, a softer din. Says second day is a softer din. First day is a Din HaKashya. It's a stronger din, a harder din. Says Michta Meliyahu, the first day person is judged as an individual without his expression to other individuals. We don't look at his expression. We look at him as he is in himself, as if he was the only person created in the world, and ask how much is he living to his strength that he has? How much is he using them properly? And based on that, we will decide his next year, his whole Olam Haba, for that, what he gained in that year. You understand? The second day, says Rav Dessler, why is that Din HaRafya? Because then we're judged in terms of our relationship with other people. For example, if a person, say, mitzad himself, shouldn't go through the year, or should get bad things happening during the year, but it's going to affect his wife, it's going to affect his children, it's going to affect the people that he knows around him, and they don't deserve to be affected in that way, he'll be judged letova in a good way, in order that it won't affect those other people around him, because you're judged as an individual, but the fact that you're connected to a group of people, and that your judgment won't affect in a bad way the people around you. That's the Din HaRafya, says Rav Dessler.